Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not. According to the 538.com website, Representative John Faso votes with the positions of President Donald Trump 86.8% of the time.
Simon Pathé in Roll Call reported that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee is running digital ads on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram against Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, about the Republican tax plan currently before Congress. While there are no congressional hearings about the plan, more votes may come soon. Faso voted against the tax plan November 16th after it was clear that it would pass the House of Representatives and has generally spoken in favor of it, except for the elimination of exemptions for state and local taxes. In a fundraising post of his own to Facebook, Faso wrote, quote, "It's a fact that I voted against the tax reform bill because it took away state and local tax deductions. But Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats are running dishonest negative ads on social media that don't tell the truth. I need your help to fight back," end quote. Read the full story in Roll Call. The Mid-Hudson News Network reports in the Daily Freeman that three Hudson Valley-based Democratic House members called for a long-term ban on Hudson River anchorages on November 27th. Currently, the U.S. Coast Guard, which proposed the anchorages last year, is completing its ports and waterways safety assessment. Quote, "The safety process they are running is a good process, but I am concerned that it could result in a revised proposal that might still be problematic," end quote, said Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney. Quote, "We are watching it very closely. We are keeping the coalition together, and we are going to hold their feet to the fire to make sure that whatever they do in this area is properly focused on what is good for our communities and the real safety issues we have on the river," end quote. In May, Representative John Faso, Republican from Kinderhook, added an amendment to the Coast Guard Authorization Act of 2017 to delay any new barge anchorage sites on the Hudson River for at least a year. The Coast Guard, facing opposition, eventually withdrew its anchorage proposal, but then started a new study last month. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Time magazine reports that the U.S. House of Representatives approved a bipartisan measure November 29th requiring annual anti-harassment training for lawmakers and aides. The House took a voice vote, so there's no record of Representative John Faso's vote. Faso did vote November 29th with all Republicans against all Democrats to allow more mining in a Minnesota national park. He also voted for another bill to give a specific company, PolyMet Mining, access to a site to build Minnesota's first ever copper-nickel mine and nullify lawsuits filed by environmental groups to stop the land exchange. And Faso voted with all other representatives November 29th to designate specified mountain peaks in the Uncompahgre National Forest in Colorado as Fowler Peak and Boscoff Peak.
On November 30th, Representative John Faso voted with all but eight Republicans and all Democrats in favor of the Brownfields Enhancement Economic Redevelopment and Reauthorization Act. Faso also voted for the Ensuring a Qualified Civil Service Act, which 211 Republican votes and two Democrats voted for, and 18 Republicans and 186 Democrats voted against. Faso's only interviews this week were with partisan channels, the Sinclair Broadcast Connect to Congress series, which airs on CBS 6 in Albany, and Fox Business News. Here are excerpts of both of those interviews.
Congressman, good to have you. This is a worry you have too, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm very concerned about that. I've spoken to a number of people in the financial services industry in our state, and a number of them have said to me, look, we can just unplug our Bloomberg terminals and plug them in Texas or Florida or North Carolina, and we'll pay a lot less in taxes. And so this is a great concern for New York, and I think it's an unintended consequence of this tax reform bill, and I think it really needs to be changed because it's going to have dire impacts upon commercial centers like New York, high-tax states, and this, I'm not defending the high-tax status in New York by any means, but I don't think imposing this as of January 1, 2018 is good policy because a lot of people have already made their financial plans based upon the deductibility of state and local taxes.
Now, in the House, where you guys are, you came up with a plan to at least cushion the blow a little bit by allowing folks in those high tax states, yours included, to write off up to $10,000, I believe, in mortgage interest. The Senate has no such proviso. So the Senate plan is even worse, isn't it?
Yeah, the House plan allows a deduction of up to $10,000 for real estate taxes, which is a big issue in New York State. The problem for New York State is that we have high real estate taxes, we have high income taxes, and we have a high sales taxes. So we have a triple whammy. Albany needs to fix this, but imposing this on our state and our taxpayers as of January 1, I think, is precipitous and uncalled for, and it's going to result in more people leaving our state, and I think that's a real problem for New York.
Now, in New Jersey, you've probably heard I talked to the Democratic Senate President, Steve Sweeney, who was telling me they might be rethinking, this is just in New Jersey, reimposing the so-called millionaires tax, Congressman. And it was very popular before Chris Christie came into office. But because of this, they're maybe not looking at reimposing it. What do you think of that?
Well, I think they have to make that decision, but I think that's what's going to happen. Places like Trenton and Albany, the big taxing politicians, are going to have to revise their approach, because otherwise we're basically eating our seed corn, driving people away who are producing jobs and wealth. And let's face it, when you drive out the successful entrepreneur or the business owner, you're also losing their philanthropy in your state. So this is something that New York should change, even if the federal tax reform doesn't go through. But I fear that the deductibility of state and local taxes is going to be adversely affected in this legislation. And so New York is going to have to change. But it's, again, as I've told you, Neil, I don't want to have my constituents become the collateral damage in this fight between Washington and Albany. I really think we need to cushion this blow at a minimum by phasing it in over a number of years, not doing it all at once.
John Faso spoke to Sinclair Broadcasting's Connect to Congress feature, where they interview conservative members of Congress and let them speak without any hard questions. CBS 6 in Albany is the local Sinclair station. Here's a little bit of what Faso said on November 29th.
There are good aspects of the tax reform bill that I support, but overwhelmingly the reason I voted against it was the elimination of the deductibility of state income taxes. This is going to have a damaging impact, I think, on the state. It's going to drive more people, especially successful people and their businesses, out of New York. And so it'll have a negative impact on the state revenues and local revenues. So I'm very concerned about the exodus of people from New York, and I fear that this legislation, unless it's changed, will accelerate that exodus of people from New York. The important thing, I think, for people to understand in terms of their own situation, if you're a married couple filing jointly, you have a $24,000 standard deduction. If your deductions are not likely to be over $24,000, then you would take the standard deduction. And so the loss of the deductions for mortgage interest and state and local taxes and charitable contributions aren't really going to affect you. But I think everyone has to look at this from the standpoint of their own circumstance. I'm trying to look at it both individually for people, but broadly in terms of the impact to the state. And that's where my concern is that I think a lot of successful people, business people, are going to be driven away from New York because of the loss of these state and local deductions. And what that means is that we're going to lose their businesses, their jobs, their tax revenue, and the philanthropy that they provide now to people in our state.
Then on November 30th, Faso spoke on the House floor about the passing of former Representative Morris Hinchey.
Mr. Speaker, my colleagues, it is with great respect and sorrow that I rise today to announce the passing of our former colleague, Congressman Maurice Hinchey. Mr. Hinchey passed away on November 22nd, just before Thanksgiving, at the age of 79 in Saugerties, New York, leaving behind an extraordinary legacy that was marked by fervent patriotism, political courage, and forward-thinking leadership. During his 20 years of service in the House of Representatives, Maurice Hinchey represented a broad swath of New York State in the Hudson Valley and the Catskills, over in the Southern Tier as well. Many of those areas make up what is today's 19th congressional district, which I currently represent. I also had the honor of working alongside Mr. Hinchey for 6 years in the New York State Assembly. There he developed and honed his legislative skills as chairman of the Assembly's Environmental Conservation Committee. We proudly note the service of Maurice Hinchey to the nation, and I'm glad to be joined here by my colleagues from the New York delegation and the dean of the delegation, Mrs. Slaughter, to extend our heartfelt condolences to Maurice Hinchey's widow, Eileen Hinchey, and to the entire Hinchey family. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.